What's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson. I'd like to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotica from a Man's Perspective. And as always, I gotta say thank you to the listeners and the supporters of this platform. I greatly appreciate you. Tonight's topic is dating, sex, and love. So please sit back and relax, and I'll be right back with the question of the night. Okay, we're back with the question of the night, and it is porn and relationships. Can a healthy union exist between the two? There's been a big debate surrounding the topic of pornography and relationship for years. Some people believe that pornography is damaging to a relationship, whereas others find it to be helpful, meaning that if you don't overdo it, if you're not constantly online or, you know, watching porn without your partner, then it's not looked at as such a bad thing. Whereas if you're constantly watching it and you're in the bathroom, watching it, or, you know, you're on your lunch break, you know, watching porn. Not saying I've done those things, but I've heard stories. So if it's bad like that, then yeah, it's a problem. But if it's going to help the relationship and maybe help your marriage out, then there's nothing really damaging about that. There are pros and cons to both sides of this argument. Those who believe that pornography is damaging to their relationship says that it causes partners to become desensitized to each other, and it leads to an increase of infidelity, a proven fact. Don't want to call names, but I know plenty of people who have gone through this situation. And I know some people who had to talk to other people, like counselors or sex addict classes, you know what I'm saying, groups. And also, with it being addictive, it leads to disordered views of sex, body images, and relationships. On the other hand, those who believe that pornography can be helpful, they feel like it adds that excitement. It spices up the relationship. They argue that it's been argued that it's a personal choice whether if pornography is used or not used as a replacement for the actual intimacy with one's partner. How does porn affect the relationship? It depends on the couple and how secure they are in their relationship. Two individuals can handle watching sex without feeling grossed out or worrying that, you know, their love is having sex on the side. Insecure people, you know, in my opinion, they need to stay away from porn because it's going to present an avalanche of problems for that person. And then they're going to take those problems and let it find itself into the relationship. So it goes from being their problem to being y'all problem, all because they're insecure. And it will kill the relationship instantly. You know, you're getting the constant eye stares, you know, your partner always staring at you or wondering what you're doing on your phone or trying to hover over you to see if you're, you know, doing something that they feel that may fuck up the relationship or, you know, may damage the relationship. You know, I think I know one scenario which is common among men who watch a lot of porn is when you got the house to yourself. And what I mean by that is there's no kids, the wife is at work, you know, worked a couple of days. You may not be getting none, you know, or you may just be getting just enough to keep your mouth closed. So you find yourself with a bottle of lotion, a good video or a magazine, and you have a little bit of what I call self-love. And there's nothing wrong with self-love. Nothing wrong with it at all. Because there are times when you just have to get in tune with yourself. You know, it's always better with your partner. It's always better. For me, it's always been better with a woman. You know, but at times, you know, I just need to break away and find me. So, women, they really don't admit to it. They're very secretive about it. You know what I'm saying? If they do it, you'll never know unless they tell you or they show you. Whereas men, we leave evidence. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day when there was videotapes. And for everybody who don't know what a videotape is, please Google it. It's one of those things that was out before CDs. Well, some people may not know what CDs are. It's a form of entertainment. It's like watching movies or whatever. But, you know, there have been times when people didn't rewind the VCR or the tape is still lodged in the VCR. Watching together. Watching porn together can spice up most relationships. That's if you watch it and not critique everything. Like, why is she being so slutty? Why is it going in that hole? What's that on her face? Does she like that? If I'm lying or flying, I have heard these questions asked to me. And say if I was watching, you know, we was watching some shit with some people, you know what I'm saying? People just can't sit and watch and just enjoy what's going on. It's always a question and it comes out in a negative form. So once you hear that question, like, oh shit, I ain't gonna be able to enjoy this because she tripping. I know there are times when you don't have to watch the rated X porn. You can watch something simple like a movie, like what's a good movie? Basic Instinct. There's an author, her name is Zane. Zane is a very good author. She's one of the people who inspired me to write and talk about sex. Shout out to Zane. But she has some good TV shows in there. I think it was like 2009, 2010, 2011, around that time. Used to come on Showtime, and she had some very good shows that didn't have a whole lot of pornography. I mean, it was, you know, sex-based, but it was more of a cleaner version, you know? So if you don't really want to see something like Pornhub or some of the other sites online, check out a good movie, you know, that has a lot of bottom line sex, you know what I'm saying? Communicate. Like I always say, communication is very important. It is extremely important when you're dealing with porn in your relationship. I think the more open-minded you are and the more open you are about the subject, the better it's going to be for, say, one person who's not into porn that much, except their partner who likes porn. So communication is definitely something that's needed when it comes to porn. Once you get to a point where you have communicated and you feel like you can do it together, where you can come together and watch it, it's going to relax you. You got to find a way to help relax each other with, you know, with the idea of we're watching something that's that might be out of the norm for one person. And the person who enjoys watching porn explains certain things like, you know, themes or actors or talk about fetishes that people have. Try to figure out why they have those fetishes. And once you, you know, tap into that part of the subject, that's going to translate and make your relationship, it should make your relationship somewhat better. Don't get bent out of shape when it comes to porn in your relationship. Don't get pissed off with your partner who likes porn a little bit more than you do. To have a lover that's willing to share the fact that they like to watch porn sometime is not the end of the world. Get over yourself. Lend a helping hand or mouth and enjoy each other. All right, so we'll be right back with the topic of tonight. Tonight's topic is dating, sex, love. All three are about becoming emotionally and physically close to someone. To me, you need all three like you need the three elements of a fire, which is heat, fuel, heat, and oxygen. Because if you're missing one of those components, then you're not going to have a flame. Same thing with a relationship. If you don't have sex, if you're not dating, and if you're not loving each other, then that flame of your relationship is going to burn out. No question. There needs to be a flame lit in the relationship. We often think that these three are separate things. They are all interconnected. Dating is the process of getting to know someone and deciding if you want to be close to them. Whereas sex is the stages that deepens the relationship. And lastly, love is that feeling you get when you are close and you come together as one and you feel like you just want to be with that person forever and ever and ever. And you need all three. A lot of people just think that they can get by with two. You know, we can have sex and go out and get something to eat, but we're not in love. We're in love when we're having a sexless relationship. Now, different strokes with different folks. Sometimes you can skate by with the two being just enough. But somewhere along the line, it's going to come up where that one element that's not present, it's going to bring on some type of problem, it's going to bring on some type of change. When dating, you're dating to love, you're dating to get to know someone, you're dating to marry, you're dating to decide if you want to have sex. When two people first start out dating, there are often a lot of excitement and that intrigue. Your interest is just moving at milliseconds because you're constantly thinking about the person in your life. You're constantly thinking about when would be the next time you get to see that person? When would be the next time you get to kiss that person? As the relationship develops, however, the initial excitement tends to fade. And that's with everybody. Everybody's going to have that moment, that bump in the road, that pause in the relationship. And it can be replaced with feeling comfortable, being familiar. This process of developing trust, this is a process of developing trust. And it's very essential for any successful long-term relationship. Trust allows couples to feel safe and open up to each other and share what's going on in their mind, the deepest, most intimate thoughts. It also enables them to rely on each other during difficult times, the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, getting sick of a terminal illness, dating is you're young. Well, when you first start dating, it's gonna start out when you're in your teens, early 20s. That's gonna probably be your first date. And you don't know anything. You're a youngin'. You have no experience. You have no insight on being together. You're going off on physical attraction alone. And you have to build up where you have to start to feel and connect with that person on a more spiritual, a mental, and emotional level. And that takes time for some people. And if you rush it, you may miss something. So it's best that you take the time, get to know the person, make sure that they are a complete match for you. And you're not going to find that out the first day, the second day, the third day. It's going to be an ongoing process. And then one day you're going to find out and say, you know what, this person is right for me. You're going to start letting your guard down a little bit. You're going to be more open to more personal shit that you want to share with someone. It's laughable to discuss what you mean when you're in your 20s. Meaning that someone say, I love you, and they're in their 20s, they're like, yeah, okay. I hear you, but you don't know what love is. You know what I'm saying? Even if you experienced it before, you're still young, so you have no idea what it is. And even though people find it laughable, they will then start to treat you as a child. Because people can be assholes, even if you're dating them. But if they see a weakness in your character, or they see something where you're not, where you don't have a good insight on something, they'll pick at that. And they may not intentionally do it. They may say something slick to you. Like try to check your how smart you are, or how much you know as far as relationships. Do you have a good understanding? Can you comprehend what it is that you're saying if you tell somebody that you love them when you're 20 years old, when you don't really know what love is? You may find somebody who might try to pick at you or just try to tease you, toying with your thoughts, toying with your emotions. Most people have dated a person who's narcissistic, especially when you're young. And at one time or another, you're going to come across someone who feel like it's all about them, that you have to make sure that they're okay. You have to be at their beck and call. You have to entertain them. You have to get up 2:30 in the morning and let them in your house. when they could have came out and saw you at 8:30 at night. But they just know that because they're giving you good love and spending quality time with you, that they can hop in and hop out of your bed whenever they want. But I think it's all about where we are in this world today. Social media has played a big part of the increase or the volume of dating, because before social media, it was like you got a phone number, you talk to somebody on the phone. Say you got a phone number on a Friday night, you talk to that person Saturday, Sunday. You might not see them again until like Wednesday, Thursday. But now you can DM, direct message. Can I come over? Can I smash? And someone told me, while I was looking at something, and it's this thing called Link, my secret link or some shit like that. So I don't know what it is. I know it's dealing with, you know, kind of like a booty call type thing. But that's where we are now. We've gone from laying down on the floor with the phone at our ear to DMs. And it's not gonna change. It's not, it's only gonna, I don't wanna say it's gonna get worse, but that's the way of the world now. We live in a world where everything is, I gotta have it right now. It gotta happen right at this minute. You know, there's no taking the time out to get to know someone, get to know their families, asking their parents, especially the father, can I date your daughter? Shit, I think that went out in what, early 2000s? Because you can't change people. Now, you might be able to soften them up, but you can't wake someone up who'd rather be sleeping or who don't want to be awake, who don't want to be woke. Think about how hard it is for someone to change you. You ain't let nobody come in and tell you what to do or what they think is right. No. And the same goes for someone else. Sure, you can plant seeds and you can teach lessons and you can give insight, but everybody needs to come to terms on what it is that they want to do when they're dating. So when a woman or a man decides to be with someone who isn't sure about them, let them figure it out as they go along. Nobody deserves to be with someone who isn't sure about them. But some of us learn these lessons through experience. And experience is the best teacher. Great sex. This is what I know about great sex. You can get it everywhere, from anywhere, everywhere. It's available. You can watch a movie, read a book, hear a story. Somewhere along the line, you're going to hear something about sex. Great sex, bad sex, horrible sex, awesome sex. But some of us still want sex to be private and intimate and just between our partners. We don't want it to be, we don't want to hear people talking about sex on the podcast. I didn't want to go back to that one, but it's one of those situations where I hear it all the time, you know. And it's funny because I never paid it no attention until I started talking about relationships and sex. I never heard anybody saying, you know what, that's just too much sex being talked on the radio, or never heard that. But as soon as I did it, and I'm not saying that people were targeting me saying that I, you know, didn't have anything else to talk about beyond sex. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that as soon as I started to notice that, you know, people would say little slick stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay. But it's still not going to stop this. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with talking about sex. Because it's like a mystery for some. I mean, I enjoy in my day being ravished in private. And I think that mystery made it very exciting for me personally. Again, as a man of a certain age, I don't think anything's wrong with casual sex. But now at this point in my life, I can't see myself engaging in it. You know what I'm saying? I have to have some type of ongoing intimacy beyond the bed. You have to mentally stroke my mind. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that you can't stroke me somewhere else, but mentally is what holds me, or what gets me to that point where I'm ready to, okay, yeah. Look at here, girl, you looking all good. You wanna do something strange for a piece of change? Anyway, I'm only stimulated sexually when it comes to dealing with me mentally. You know, I think a lot of people have gotten to that point, you know, when they understand who they are and what it is that, you know, actually turn them on. You know, they're a little bit more open about it. You know, because there was a time people wouldn't be sitting here talking about sex. You know, it was like one of those secrets, you know, that people talked about, you know, whispering or in small crowds. Now you have forums online, you have chat rooms, you have podcasts where people are actually, I mean, there's some podcasts, I have heard some podcasts where people get down and dirty. I mean, they and I don't get, you know, squeamish when it comes to sex, but like, god damn, you know. And it's women, because I don't listen to men. I don't think I've listened to one man as far as a podcast when it comes to sex and relationship. I get all my information, all my thoughts from listening to women, because I think women are a little bit more in tune. They understand all the elements of a relationship and sex, and, you know, even something like porn. You know, someone who's open, who has an open mind, you know. Also, intimacy is a vital part to any relationship, as it brings us closer and it allows us to share those feelings. Feelings that we can only share with someone that we want, that we need to share them with. And it starts by dating, getting to know each other, sharing experiences, maintaining love. Love is rare. Let me say that again. Love is rare. If you find someone that you truly love, hold on to that. Because that is extremely hard to find. There's nothing wrong, there's nothing worse. Even though it doesn't last, there's nothing worse than not giving someone a chance because you're scared. Okay. There's a handful of people that I know that's been in love for years. There are million. Well, there are several people that I know that's been in love for like a year, 6 months, couple of days, have broken up, have gotten divorced. A lot of people don't stay together. And the people who do, I salute them all the time. I mean, I don't care if you're black, white, green. If you've been with somebody and been riding with them for over 5 years, that gets an applause. That gets an applause for me because that is special. I remember when I got married, someone said, "Man, if you don't make it 5 years, you failed." And I'm like, "What?" And at first, I thought they was crazy. And there was an old Navy buddy. He was older, and he had a couple of marriages, and one of those guys who had a house but had to end up living on the ship because of his choices. And he was open about his choices. He said, "Hey, I messed up being on this ship and meeting a different woman in different ports, bringing home, diseases to my wife." I mean, he let it be known. And I'm like, that wasn't going to be me. I wasn't going to do that. Now, my marriage lasts 10 years. But we knew each other since the third grade. We had started dating since the 10th grade. So you might as well say we was married for like 20 plus years. We was together almost 30 years. Well, 20 some years. Now, and I know I done said this, but everything happened because of things I wasn't doing. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't living up to my vows, and I had to take that. It's truly sad to be with someone who doesn't love, because I have loved. And to not be loved in return, that's hard. That's when you want love. Let me say that, because there are times when you don't want to be loved. You just want to be, next to a warm body, or you want somebody who's going to cook you something, who's going to, take care of your needs. But when you're ready for love and they don't love you back, then that's hard. I was watching a TV show. I'm not going to say what it was, but it was this one of these shows on HBO that's popular right now. And this guy and this woman, she looked at him and said, "I know you love me, but you know I don't love you." But they were married, and they lived as a couple who interacted with each other as a happy married couple. But on the flip side, she was doing her thing because of, she's a wealthy woman, and she just felt like, everything revolved around her, and if he should be lucky to be with her. So I've experienced that too. I mean, someone tried to tell me I should be lucky to be with. I'm like, what? You're out your damn mind. You should be lucky to be with me. If you really want to, know something, you should be lucky to be with me, because I am a damn good catch. Back then, long time ago, long time. I mean, I'm still good now, but if I had to guess, no, being in love requires love from each party. Both parties got to be on board. They got to be, willing and open to showing love all the time. Because when you give love and you express love, you make that person feel special. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about. Being happy, making your partner feel special, making your partner feel like they're the only person that matter to you. So you have to be committed, even when you don't want to be. Because there are days you might look at the person like, this so-and-so here. But it's only temporary. You have your moments. You have your time where you withdraw from your partner. Like I said, it's only temporary. Because if you have a strong relationship, if you have something that's built on love and built on trust and built on effort, then you got something that's real. You got something that has meaning. And you're one of the few people in this world who get an opportunity to experience that. It's like experience every moment and wishing that person was with you to share your experience, to share that love. It can't be one-sided. It should never be one-sided. One person cannot do it alone. Love consists of two people. There's no denying that love is one of the most important things in life. It makes us happy and it gives us a sense of purpose. It is crucial. Crucial. It is crucial for a healthy and fulfilling relationship. Maintaining love is not always easy. However, it takes work. The challenges of dating, sex, and love are worth it because of the great rewards it offers. The three components can be challenging. Because when it comes to dating, you have to learn about each other. You even have to learn about yourself. Because it's going to help develop important skills like communication and compromise. Then you got sex that will provide the physical and emotional intimacy that's beneficial to both individuals in the relationship. And lastly, love is a deep feeling of affection that is often accompanied by strong emotions. These emotions can provide happiness, comfort, and security in your relationship. And that's it. So I hope you enjoyed the podcast. On Wednesday, I was caught up with something, so I didn't get an opportunity to record. But I wanted to talk about sex, love, and dating. I really did. A lot of my topics have been about some other stuff, but I felt like this was needed, and I'm glad I did it. I hope that everybody enjoyed it. Got some good topics that I've already outlined and got prepared, so it's going to be on some different stuff, you know what I'm saying? Some people may not like it, but it's what I see and what I have experienced, so I'm going to talk about it. But anybody that's interested in getting my book, Heart Seduction, you can find it on Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble online, and Apple Bookstore. The next book is coming, y'all. I'm on a roll. I'm editing. I'm making it right for you. You know what I'm saying? So it's coming. If you got anything you want to talk about, anything you want me to talk about, anything you want to critique me on or whatever, hit me up at whenhespeakserotica@gmail.com. Hope everybody have a good night. Take care of yourselves. Stay up. And I'll talk to y'all next week. Peace.